Not too long ago, maybe a few months or so, a young man had a notion. He loved a show called Gilmore Girls, wanted to share it with the world. So he made a plan and set it into motion. Wrote up on his Twitter feed, "Won't anyone podcast with me?" A lone soul answered Kevin, the brave Electro Lemon. It all happened pretty fast, the formation of the Holocast. And so far I'd say it's been a blast, just listening to these boys. Oh my, it's the Gilmore guys. Hear reactions to for fashion and a guest might stop by. Sometimes there's a plan, but mostly they improvise. Talking Rory, Dean, Lane, Luke, and Lorelai. Rory, Dean, Lane, Luke, and Lorelai. Did you write the book of love? No, cause Patty did. Now try a plum and see how nice chickens can be. And if you want nonstop double G, then saddle up with these gillies. Don't worry, it's all spoiler free. Well, we were all impressed a ton when they booked our friend Scott Patterson. Let's hope for the whole cast. Oh, welcome to my ass. Oh, sorry I went off the rails. Let's get back to Lorelai and her pigtails. Or listen to Maury play the scales the day Cinnamon died. We started singing my, it's the Gilmore guys. Hear reactions to for fashion and a guest might stop by. Sometimes there's a plan, but mostly they improvise. Talking Rory, Dean, Lane, Luke, and Lorelai. Rory, Dean, Lane, Luke, and Lorelai. I met a boy who had a vine and I followed him there for a time. Eventually he led me here to watch Richard finally bag the Swede and Lorelai fight with Emily. Oh wait, did I just see Kevin shed a tear? On Twitter all the gillies scream, Team Jess is best, bring back Trolley. Yes, Michelle is black, we know. Hey, we love ya, come on the show. Oh, I finally must have had some luck to find this podcast in the muck. Well, Metallica rules and Offspring sucks. And now this song is done. And we were singing, my, it's the Gilmore guys. Hear reactions to for fashion and a guest might stop by. Sometimes there's a plan, but mostly they improvise. Talking Rory, Dean, Lane, Luke, and Lorelai.
And now the Gilmore guys.
Give it up for Brenda Swebka, everybody.
Brenda Swebka.
La la la, la la, episode 414. I forget the title of this one.
The incredible speaking Lorelai, Jimmy.
We just did this. So, la 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 la, oh, incredible sinking Lorelai.
As you can tell, we're very well prepared. Take a breath.
Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Gilmore Guys.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why, and figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/Gilmore Guys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/Gilmore Guys.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode.
What's that?
I said thank you so much for joining us for another episode.
Yeah,
you.
Who here is here for the second time in a row today?
What are you guys doing? That's $30.
Wow. Thank you. And I'm sorry if it's not as good as the first one.
But also, you're welcome if it's better.
Yeah.
Oh, high hopes.
Question.
High
nailed it. Oh, my gosh. Well, I think it's time.
Let's rate the episode. No.
Yeah. I give it 9 out of 10. Ugh.
Yeah, I think it's time.
Let's do it. Let's introduce our special guest.
La la, special guest.
Well, you know this young lady from such la, la, shows as Bunheads and Friday Night Lights. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Stacey Orstano.
And you know this woman as a friend of the show and from Parenthood.
P-Hood.
Sarah Ramos. Once again,
yes.
Thank you.
And this young lady is a rock and roll drummer and a wonderful human being, ladies and gentlemen. It's Keiko Agena!
No, you're good.
We're doing it. La la la, indeed.
Part of me is like, I'll just let some of them pick their own
seats. This is our setup. Demi stands, there's a mic in one chair.
I'm just gonna,
and no one sits in it.
Right.
Here, let's
No. Sit wherever you want.
Yeah, we went over. We had 3 dress rehearsals for this podcast, and here we are now.
Yeah.
Ladies, these are the women of the ATX Television Festival.
Oh.
Is that a heavy title? Is that too much?
That's a lot.
Would you prefer queens?
Princesses.
Princesses.
At the Bunheads panel, Amy christened everyone like Dame Kelly and Countess Sutton, but I didn't get a title.
Oh.
I didn't. You need
maybe you're a knight. So.
Yeah. Knight.
Stacey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
you for joining us. Keiko.
Thank you for joining us.
What if we turn this? We've always dreamed of turning this into like a shock jock. By the way, my voice is like that Casey Affleck movie.
I'm not doing it, Kevin.
Okay.
All right. It's gone, baby, gone.
I woke up and I woke up like this, but in a bad way.
Oh.
But yeah, it's been a whirlwind festival.
It has.
What has been the best thing each of you has eaten? Food-wise.
Those are the hard-hitting questions you can expect from us.
Food-wise. Shampoo.
What otherwise?
I did Mueller's barbecue for the first time. You guys know? Like, 2 people were like, yeah, I'm here with a barbecue. It was great. It was awesome.
All right.
I got Amy's ice cream at the airport when I came in.
Ooh. I love it.
Here's my jam. Amy's ice cream, Mexican vanilla milkshake with a little oatmeal cookie in it. Can't go wrong.
I like vanilla. Keiko.
I had these little crab cakey things at one of these soirees. Was delicious. And then also I've been swimming in vodka on the rocks since I've been.
Swimming.
Since the plane ride over here, we both
yes.
have.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the party plane.
Yeah.
Well, should we get into the episode discussion?
Yes,
or
we
should. Should we do this for another 20 minutes?
I think everyone's here to
episode
see us.
Discussion. This is episode 414. The Incredible Shrinking Lorelei's. Now, on the DVDs, there's a misprint, and it says The Incredible Sinking Lorelei's.
Now, I want to bring this up because I just checked Twitter, and there's a huge discussion about which is which.
Really?
On Netflix, it says sinking. Mm-hmm. On a lot of things, it says sinking, and only on the DVDs does it say shrinking, right?
Well, there's a movie from the 50s called The Incredible Shrinking Man, which I would assume it would be. I mean, they both apply.
Yeah, either way, it's a pun.
Yeah. But we should keep discussing it for about 10 more
Welcome
minutes.
So you think Keiko would know? Like,
yes.
Don't. So remember.
I'm going to burst that bubble title. Quick before it gets too big.
Yeah, she was a main cast member and she named all the episodes. So she wore both hats. It was a very weird setup. But the Netflix synopsis for this one is...
My hat is rolling away.
Oh, boy.
I like the pathetic attempts that both of us just like motioned.
It was just like Amy. It was like Amy's ghost was leaving the stage.
Yeah.
And the Netflix synopsis is overwhelmed by her classwork at Yale. Roy confides in her ex-boyfriend, Dean, who's working on the construction crew at the Dragonfly Inn. I don't know how much that was necessary.
Pretty bad synopsis. It's literally the last like 4 minutes. And it's not a big... It's a big thing in the world of the episode, but if you're summarizing it, you're not going to go, oh, it's the one where Rory goes to Dean. That doesn't help at all.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Why they should have said, like, drawn the parallels, like, Lorelei and Rory both struggle with blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Or shut off from each other and can't connect, blah, 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 blah. I'm a writer. And now it's time for a little segment we call Pop
Goes
the
Culture.
Did everyone sound bummed out when they said that, by the way?
Here's like, the thing. You,
culture.
No one expects you to go, oh, finish this for us.
But I think people felt, okay, let's do it. We did this in
let's
the first
do it
show,
the classic
too,
way.
Where we just kept running it until it felt good.
And it went well. All right.
We do Pop Goes the, and then they do Culture.
You guys cool with that?
Let's do it. All
right.
Hey, a little something we call Pop
Goes
the
Culture.
Felt so much better.
Terrific.
Where we take every single pop culture reference in the episode and put them in a supercut and just kind of analyze it, bro. So let's do it. Episode 414, The Incredible Shrinking or Sinking Lorelei's, depending on your preference, Pop Goes the Culture.
I like it.
Thank you, Trix.
It makes you look like Adolf Monju.
Or Adolf Monju's cocaine dealer.
I'm gonna grab Barbie's neck and squeeze until her expandable hair falls out and she's dead, dead, dead.
You look like the bird lady from Mary Poppins the last time I saw you.
Living on a prayer, baby.
Celine Dion is here. I'm not 5 feet away from her.
What's your problem?
I'll tell you my problem, Andre.
But I cannot for the life of me read my own handwriting. Seriously, if I had this analyzed, Charlize Theron would be playing me in a movie. Because I'd be a serial killer, and pretty girls like to get fat and play serial killers because they win an Oscar, and...
And this shirt, stick a pole in it, and Cirque du Soleil could start selling tickets.
All we need is that filthy Eminem fellow to make it a perfect afternoon for me.
Well, Gandalf the Grey is still falling down. It was a big hole.
What does mesomorphic mean?
It means you've got a fat ass, pal. That suite is crowded enough with the four of us, plus the Jolly Green Giant and everyone else passing through there.
2 seconds into the shampoo, I get a phone call from a guy who sounds like a Kids in the Hall character telling me...
I should just tell her Asher Fleming's my man, so she can compare her circa 1972 Lou Ferrigno with him.
Brought to you by Marriott.
I'm not alone.
Oh, really? Who do you have besides your poster of Noam Chomsky?
You're hiding from my grandmother, aren't you?
She is scarier than Nick Nolte's mugshot.
Unless your partner is a Rockefeller, you are in serious financial trouble.
There's nothing like the bitterness of the lonely.
Yeah.
Nice addition, Patsy.
Sapphire. He came up with nattering nabobs of negativism for Agnew.
It's my place, too. Yours. Not that Brobdingnagian twits.
And who's making that choice, Sophie?
I begged her for Monopoly, but she insisted on Mimic Your Favorite Sweat Hog, so...
Are you suddenly on super fantastic terms with your parents? If by fantastic you mean are we as close as that one-armed surfer girl and the shark, then yes.
Hey, Rory, you're gonna completely ignore me. Might as well go hang out with my ex-girlfriend, the same thing.
Oh, sorry, Glenn.
Everyone's gonna be sorry one day.
Everyone.
You really gotta stop watching Taxi Driver, Glenn.
That was a really, Columbine-y sort of threat. I would be worried if someone's like, everyone's gonna pay.
That wouldn't have played 4 years prior at all. No. Glenn is not well, guys. Glenn is not doing so good.
Sucks.
Another strange reference, the Kids in the Hall character. Now, they've had Bruce McCullough on the show, who is a kid in the hall. So the universes are... Does anyone see what I'm saying? The universes are collapsing in on each other. I feel like no one's as troubled by this as I am.
No, yeah, we understand okay. that sometimes celebrities aren't the people they play on TV. Wait a minute, do you think that you met Emily last night?
Oh, God. But yeah, that was fun. That was much lengthier than our last one.
I really Very liked heavy. The Eminem joke because in my head I was like, I think that Trix would have loved Eminem. If she loves corn so much, then it would have just been like, oh, you're so nice, Marshall.
They planted tulips.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, that was fun. This is the very first episode in which Rory and Lorelai never share a scene together. They're never on screen at the same time.
Whoa.
Which I think is very demonstrative of the distance. Did I just blow your mind?
Yeah, I shouldn't be learning things on stage about this episode.
We've done nothing but learn things on stage.
That's true.
Right?
Does it ever happen again?
Them
I'm sure, yeah. Of course. It must. In season 6.
Yeah.
I think so. Whereas in season 1, they were in it constantly, like in every single episode.
It makes sense for it to happen now, though, now that she's away at school. Like I was wondering how they would make that work now that she's literally in a different city all the time, but it works.
It is so funny, cause, like even pulling pictures for the fashion report, which we may go to later, everyone's on the phone in this show. Like it's like the phone episode. Right. Everyone's making a call, receiving a call. And it really is, I think, very effective at creating that distance, and you feel it, and there is like this frustration at just missing each other like ships in the night. Although, here's one thing I don't understand. Why does Rory go to the Dragonfly Inn at the end rather than just go home? Why would she go there first?
Well, she knows her mom's been working so hard.
She's been working hard, but once you chill out at home... Wait for mom to get home.
No,
pop
she needs
some
to talk
B&J.
To somebody right away.
Yeah. Okay, so it's an urgent
thing. Yeah, she's freaking out.
So there's no part of her that thought, oh, maybe
Dean.
I should relax.
Maybe Dean.
Maybe Dean will be there.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I
hope that wasn't the train of thought.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Underlying. What, Stacey, what team are you again? Just so the listeners
Jess.
Know.
Jess.
Team Jess all the way.
Got a regular... trio of Team Jessers.
Whoa. No. Whoa. Are you...
No. Oh, were you here at the last episode that
no,
we just filmed?
As soon as we finished, I wiped my memory clean.
I don't know. I think Logan, but I just saw like one episode of it with Logan where he teaches her what Carpe Diem means. I was like, he's hot.
Oh.
If we all just saw that one episode, we'd all be Team Logan. That'd
if
be
Jessica St. Clair was here right now and she heard that, her head would explode.
Oh, yeah.
She hates Logan.
I know. There's
I don't know anything
okay,
about
let's do this because we did who's team blah, blah, blah in the last one. Who hates Logan?
Oh cheer for hate. Cheer for hate.
What does he do?
It's weird to hear cheers for hate.
I need to learn more about him.
Team Marty?
Oh, I was like, who's Artie?
Team Lil Jon Mayer?
Oh, yeah.
Say.
Woo!
It is so. I didn't notice that on the first watch.
Gravity.
Yeah, he looks exactly like
it's
him.
It's all I can see.
It's very weird. It's a very interesting energy. So, one of the things that people have been debating in on the internet, where people debate things like TV shows from the 90s and 2000s, is. Whether or not the conflicts that Rory have and Lorelai have are equivalent in this episode. Some people say, like, well, Lorelai's is legit. It's, like, money, and it's, like, the inn and building it and all the pressures with that. Whereas Rory's is like, oh, she got a D on a paper. She's going to have to drop a class and not be exactly like her grandfather. So...
But they're like building the pressure in the dinner scene where they're like, there's a big legacy to uphold... Trick says that.
Yeah.
It's a big deal to the family. They come from like a family of like images.
It is.
That is though, what is she trying to get the highest honor you can get in school, grades wise?
I mean, I think she's always trying for that, but it's not, they're not like, we're so disappointed in you that you didn't, that you're not the valedictorian, you know?
But it's weird because Lorelai doesn't put that pressure on her.
Right.
Most of the time. Sometimes she does, but. In my opinion.
I mean, I'm sure if she called, if she managed to talk to her on the phone, she would have probably, like, assuaged those concerns and been like, I don't want that from you. I want you to do what is right for you. If you need to drop a class, drop a class. But, again, that was the whole conflict of the episode. But, no, I agree. It doesn't feel very even to me. I don't at any point, like, when they're doing the parallel scenes at the
end,
I didn't feel as bad for Rory as it did for Lorelai.
Right, because it's more relatable, I'm sure.
But even it's just, like, I would just, like, you're at Yale, drop a class.
But what? But she should be having, like, imagine if she was having an equivalent problem to, like, what would that be, like, a health problem?
Right. Like,
we don't want that.
No,
like,
of course.
We don't want this happening.
If she got, like, a bad disease or something, you mean? Yeah, that'd be a bummer. Yeah, they probably wouldn't.
It'd be a bit of a bummer.
Yeah. It'd
be a Barack Obama bummer. But...
Oh, no.
Is that... No. That's no good? Okay.
That's no good.
But does it feel... Because I feel like we even talked about a little bit in the last episode, you see in seasons 1 through 3, the kind of fairy tale-ness of Rory and Lorelai's existence... And she's great, and Lorelai got the good kid, or whatever. But, you know, Rory's shining her halo and reading a book all the time. And now you kind of see the pressures of it. Like, she's kind of breaking. She's not doing so well. She, you know, and she continues kind of down that road a little bit. So, in a way, this might be one of the turning points in, like, she doesn't have it all together. She's not graduating valedictorian and making a speech all about herself at the graduation ceremony. Yeah. Like, there are some faults in the foundation, which I think is very interesting to watch.
I also don't believe Rory wrote a deep paper. Like, those schools don't grade like that. They wouldn't give her... What would... She would have to turn in an insane paper to get a D.
I know, it was a very specific way in which it was wrong, because he was like, oh, you copied this research from this other...
Yeah, from your other class.
Yeah.
They don't have time for that. The professors...
Oh, no, not at all. He was literally filing through the stack for like a minute. There's no way he was going through all this. Like, oh, well, I know where this is from, and it's not my class. So
maybe he had a vendetta against Rory. Maybe he saw what was happening with Paris and Ashton. He's like, why not me and Rory?
Oh, God.
And so I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that might be what's at work here. And so in acting out and in his rage and misplaced anger, he's like
all the Ash is just in the teacher's lounge, just like, you know, I'm dating a student. And
dating a student, you say?
Everyone else is like, I wish I was dating a student.
They're all very young sounding old guys.
Yeah.
By the way. Well, let's, you know what, let's play a clip. And let's talk about one other strain of the story for a little bit. So this goes without explanation, but does feature one of our guests here today.
Hello, Lee.
Hello, Mrs. Kim. I'm staying at Lorelai's.
Wear socks.
Okay.
Oh, man.
So many questions.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a lot of questions?
I have so many. Why socks? Why Mrs. Kim?
Exactly.
Well, Mrs. Kim is her mother.
But why isn't it mom?
It's so terse. Like, if you were like, oh, Mrs. Porter, you know?
Right.
That's just such a sterile sort of unfeeling way to address your parents. It's just like, oh, I've met you before. It's like in the previous episode when Digger meets his dad and she's like, oh, hello, golf, ha ha, bye. It's so unfeeling. It broke my heart.
And I wonder, I don't know, maybe someone can correct us, and I have faith that they will, if she's ever called her mom by Mrs. Kim before, because that demonstrates distance as well. I think this may be the first time. Which is sad. When you watch that and you look back on that, Keiko, and, and you see that relationship, because it was such a hard, you know, that was one of the main conflicts with your character, was like that love and acceptance and the communication with your mom. Like, what does it feel like when you watch that and experience that again? Because obviously you and Emily were probably pretty close off screen.
Yeah. I mean, when the first thing I thought was, oh, I love her delivery. You know, I mean, I laugh too as an audience member when I was at home rewatching this, because she's so funny. Wear socks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just. But I think as far as like why I think, or the reason why, or how I played it of why she says Mrs. Kim, is that it's so they don't know how to deal with each other, and I love that scene is so short. You know, because there's all this buildup of, you know, you should go, you know, reach out to your mother. And there's this chasm. And the fact that she can't say mama because she doesn't live there anymore. And she doesn't know how to interact with this person because the rules are changing. So all that can come out is
Mrs. Kim. Right. And her mom can't say, I love you, I miss you, I worry about you. She can just say, wear socks. So that's the stuff that I love about Amy, is that she'll write, you know, a page and a half paragraph of something, and which is totally funny and lovely. And then this little interaction is just, you know, four lines or something, and it gets me when I see it.
Yeah. Do you think Wear Socks is Mrs. Kim for I Love You?
I think so, yeah. I think that's what she's demonstrating. Because if it wasn't, she would have said, like, go to hell or something. Hi, Mrs. Kim.
Go to hell. I hope you die.
Like, she would have said another thing if it wasn't I Love You, I think. And this is an episode where Lane, at this point, has been staying with Paris and Rory and Tana and Janet. And apparently the other roommates besides Rory are not into it, which I was kind of taken aback by when I watched the episode. Like, yeah, she's got to go. Well, she's such a bummer.
She is being a great house guest, but I do understand it. Like, dorms are small, and to have someone who
not theirs.
Doesn't...
Their dorm is a mansion. Right. It is Hearst Castle.
It's like a friend's apartment. Yes. Yeah. But I get it, because not only does Lane not go there, but she's always in the room. Imagine just coming home like, I gotta relax, and someone's just like, hey, I made you coffee. It's like, okay, I want to talk to you, but also I can't talk to you about any of our classes or anything. It's so weird.
Are you having trouble at home with your roommates right now, Demi?
No, I love my roommate.
Is this an extension of that? We can cut this part out.
He doesn't even listen to this, Phil. I hate you.
Is that true?
No. No, I love my roommate. Why? Let's not talk about my roommate. I do love him, though. It's great.
Gilmore Guys exclusive. This episode was written by both Amy Sherman and Daniel Palladino.
Yay. Let's comment on that. Can we say also, we realized this weekend that Dan looks like PTA Paul Thomas Anderson.
He does.
The how would you describe his look?
Fresh.
Yeah, definitely fresh.
Fresh.
A lot of plaid. Scruffy.
Is that a musician?
Tall. Yeah,
good looking
exactly.
Dude.
Yeah.
He's a good looking man.
You see him across the room and you're just like, what band are you? And I recognize you.
Are we doing a fashion report on Dan Palladino?
Yes, we're objectifying him.
Oh, no. Oh, brother.
I started it.
Is this, this isn't the first time, I'm sure, but not many episodes are co-written by someone, right?
There's a few, but I think it's less common for Amy and Dan to write them together.
Right.
I think it happens more a little later on, but I think for the most part, yeah, there's single credits, solo bolo. Let's talk about, well, in the case of the Lorelai storyline, the conflict is the inn and Suki and Tom. By the way, big stars haul out to Tom Biff Yeager, who became one of my favorite townies immediately in this one scene where he has to confront Lorelai,
yeah.
Like, oh, I hate doing this, but
it feels so
give
real,
me
too.
Money.
He really doesn't want to ask for the money. It feels... You know, he's not pretending to be nice. He's pretending to not want the money.
I don't know what Lorelai was expecting, though. She was like, oh, yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. Like, they've probably been at work for, like, 5 months.
Right.
And because Lorelai is queen of Stars Hollow and expects everything for free and often does get it for free, there was just no, like, communication. But what is good about this and what's good about a lot of season 4 and the show in general is that, like, the money conflict... feels real. It feels real that, like, oh, there's a cash flow issue. That's not a real sexy, like, soapy, you know, element of conflict. It's not like, I have a twin brother, JK, you know, like...
And they don't play it for comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's why it's real.
Not for goofs and grins.
Right.
Should we get into the fashion report?
Yeah.
Fashion. Ooh, yeah.
Yes.
I love that. I just started thinking about the inn and fashion and the people there. So let's take a look at a few people.
Oh, yeah.
This is like...
Brokeback Mountain coat.
And there's a few in this episode. There's a few Brokeback Mountain
literally,
clips.
This is literally just his face, like the smoldering, looks like he's shooting a GQ ad.
This is super cash for him, though.
Yeah.
What year is this?
2004, I think. 2003 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fair enough.
I like the pinstripes.
Like the pinstripes. Miss Queen.
again, I said this about Sweater Paris worn in a previous episode that hasn't come out yet, but the pattern of this just kind of reminds me of salami. And that's not, I swear that is not an insult.
And that
because
is
she
delicious.
Looks terrific in it. I know, I feel weird saying that because it sounds like I'm just trying to like rip them down, but I swear it is good.
You've said that before, like someone else's sweater looked like salami?
Yes, Paris has a sweater that's it's red with a bunch of white dots. Demi. It's not, it's, what's a touchstone?
It's like something you go back to a lot.
Salami?
Sure.
I'm constantly thinking about it.
Demi's a pescatarian, so I think when, you know, it's kind of like a cartoon character when they like look at a person, they see
and
like
just
a
see
T-bone
meat.
Steak
yeah.
or something. He just like looks at clothes and he sees salami or sausage or whatever the case may be. This is a little risque, but we're going to go for it, guys.
This is for his robe.
Yeah.
His robe and her nightie, I guess.
I think she looks so much like Sutton in this scene. It was
Can we dim the lights down a little bit on the screen? Let's take a look.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, not. Can't. What?
With the long hair.
Yeah. Mm. She does kind of see
great.
It.
Fair enough.
What does he look like? I'm seeing.
Look at out Chris Eichmann with the shirt off.
Yeah. It's like Ryan Philippe.
A little bit. Might be a stretch. I don't know.
I don't know.
Listen, Chris Eichmann, great man, but
we love you. Come on,
let's
show.
Go to this one.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, Paul Smith going on?
Paul Frank.
Paul Frank. Is that Paul Smith?
Andy Warhol, Paul Frank?
Yeah. Andy Warhol,
wow.
Frank.
That's great.
So, Keiko, when you yes. go to set, you show up for wardrobe, and they give you this shirt.
Yeah.
What's the thought?
Yay, let's put it on.
Did you ever,
I have a job, yay.
Did you ever
That's what
get
I think
to,
every day.
Woohoo for me.
Did you ever get to wear your own clothes for any of the scenes? I know you mentioned yesterday that those are your glasses.
Yeah, those are my glasses. There's still someone has them. Someone in the world has them. Or yeah. they're destroyed, or they're in a trash can somewhere. as far as clothes, I never brought my own clothes, but I did have a pair of these terrible red sneakers that look horrible. They look two sizes too big for my feet, flat. And Valerie knew that whenever you would never see my feet, that would be my wardrobe. Mm. So those I actually kept. Those I took home with me. They're nice. The most unattractive thing you still ever see. But I'm probably wearing them right there.
Wait, question. Is Valerie the costumer?
Yeah, she's one of the original.
She did Bunheads,
she
too.
Didn't.
Ooh, right.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
All
okay.
in the family.
Yeah, right.
I like her style. Can we hear more about her?
Yeah.
Valerie?
She's funky.
Oh, Valerie.
She's in the audience tonight. No, she's
Brenda
not.
Maben was the head wardrobe person.
Okay.
Valerie was an on-set dresser, and she's someone that a lot of us still know from the show. But
right on. Now,
what are we checking out?
Suki's coat.
I like that coat on her.
Chic.
No,
I like it. Chic. I also like. I don't know if we've talked about her hair before this season, but it's great.
Looks good.
Yeah. It's on point. Concurred.
I feel like everyone's going into short hair this season,
except
and it's a good
for Lorelai.
Look. Except for Lorelai. What does that mean?
She's getting longer.
It's a metaphor. When others change, she doesn't. It's her stubbornness. It's her hard, determined will. It's all connected, Demi, the storytelling.
Oh.
Suki's coat looks like if you poured liquid on it, it would fall off. Like, it wouldn't absorb at all. Does that make sense?
Are you just saying that it's a bad raincoat? Or what do you mean?
I don't know. It just, like, it started, and it looked a little stiff. I don't know. It just... looked a little different.
Demi, does it look like salami a little bit?
Yeah, look, what food do you see when you look at that jacket?
I'm seeing a little bit of Grey Poupon on the salami.
Okay.
No, I'm
okay.
not.
Is
that, that sweater in the background looks like salami. The red one?
That we can all agree to.
Yeah. You guys see it.
Now, is Tom wearing an American Eagle vest?
I was going to... Yes, look
is
at
that what
symbol.
It is?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh,
my God. Tom shops at American Eagle outfit.
Someone's preppy.
Okay, so that's interesting. Wow.
Is that something they missed, or is that something that they were just like, whatever, get an American Eagle?
Or did they... Or is it product placement?
Ooh.
The most great. Subtle now, of product placement.
Not so subtle anymore now that we're talking about American Eagle to
Hell
everybody.
Yeah. We're also sponsored by American Eagle.
Yeah.
This was just, I don't know, pop collar, the hair.
Dean's hair.
A couple of vests.
Oh, Dean's hair.
What do you guys think about Dean's hair in this scene?
I think my hair looks like it.
Okay.
Wait, what's the consensus?
No. Gene is like in an unhappy marriage. He's like, cut him some slack.
Well, I think I may have a better way of demonstrating this. Let's hold up a little bit.
Oh, look at the baby.
I've never heard a haircut like get such a like a disgusted reaction. I guess it's like a proto Bieber, right?
He looks like every guy I knew in middle school.
It's surfer-esque.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all been there.
But he's like not that.
Another Brokeback
Mountain. What are Dean's hobbies?
Just chilling, living life to the max.
Reading Hunter S. Thompson once and then never reading a book again.
I guess he plays two different sports once.
Yes. Hockey. That's a hobby we learned of. Oh, softball. That's another one.
Right.
Let's talk about this James Bond guy. Oh, nope. This is a different episode, but let's put it up anyway. He looks so suave and legit and debonair.
He looks like he just killed a man.
And it felt good. But also, speaking of suave and debonair, we start to see the first inklings of a little mustache.
A little fuzz tickler.
Yes. And of course, Trix is... always, as always, dressed as the granny from the Tweety Bird cartoons. Which makes sense. Not dogging on it.
Wait, how do you guys feel about Richard's mustache?
What did she call
really?
It?
Really?
What did Trick say it was
like? That was a big boo.
What did Trick say it looked like?
Adolf Manju.
Yeah, Adolf
Manju.
Who that?
You guys don't know Adolf Manju?
You guys don't know Adolf Manju.
I can't
Manju.
Believe that you guys don't know who Adolf Manju is. That's so embarrassing.
I'm not
going to
Google it.
Who
I'm
not going to Google Manju, it.
I would never.
Say,
I know who he is.
Adolf?
I don't have to tell the crowd. We all.
Manju.
It's Manju, M-E-N-J-O-U, because I Googled it before and then I immediately forgot.
Does anyone here know?
He's the police chief in Casablanca.
Oh!
Hey!
Thank you, sir.
Get this man a drink.
Gilmore guy! I want to give this man a medal.
Is he the guy that goes, boss, the plane?
Are you like a super Gilmore Girls fan?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah! Woo! Yay!
Wait.
I love it.
Here's one poll I actually do want to take. By round of applause, who here is a man?
Give it up for men.
Yeah.
It's about time. I'm so kidding. No, but thank
men
you for all
get
the men
time
who are
in the
here in the audience.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's at least 20% of our audience is men. 30.
What's that math?
It's abstract math, bro.
Anyway, Adolf Manju. Looking
Adolf
Richard
Manju.
Man up there.
Oh, this is also from that same scene, but we can take a look at it. That dress on Lorelai.
Looks good.
Howdy.
Arm slits. Showing off those arms.
Yeah.
And Emily as well, dressed in a proto plaid kind of Hunger Games-esque rendition of a sport coat. I was thinking of the Hunger Games. I don't know why.
Because sometimes she wears blouses that make her look like a chancellor, like she's ruling over something.
Right, and sometimes I'm hungry.
Oh, you know what she does remind me of is salami.
Salami.
Hold on. Gosh.
Wait, this photo is interesting because the two... Trix and Emily are so critical of Lorelai's and looks. Constantly.
I would say Trix is less critical than Emily.
Well, she's saying it looks bad. Like she didn't have time to fix herself.
Oh, the hair.
Up.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I hate of the her hair.
If she had known that I was coming, yeah, that's it's sort of unfair to Emily, and it was a weird reversal for her to be like, Lorelai, you look like a mess. Emily, what the hell? But even in this, we talked about this before, but even when her hair looks like it's supposed to look like a mess, it's not bad. Yeah, she always has good hair.
Some people, it's hard
also,
for
also, since
them
when
to
do you have to, like, look good to go see your grandma?
Oh, yeah, no.
Oh, I prep for at least an hour and a half before we go over there.
You gotta see your grandma. She should be one of the people who's
I
want to
be grandma's favorite boy. No.
That says a lot.
Oh. Kevin. I've made some mistakes in my life. Oh, boy. And I think that's been the fashion report.
I've just...
Oh, did you have one?
One
oh.
Thing.
You have a prop?
I finally
for?
Got it.
Whoa.
Yay!
I gotta be watching
Gilmore Girls. Oh, my God. It looks so much like salami.
Stacey's holding up a shirt.
Salami.
I call it my salami shirt.
Ah!
It's so weird.
She's only into the shirt that says, I'd rather be watching Gilmore Girls, which I have a sweater version of, actually. And it's from Arsenic and Lace Clothing.
Arsenic and Lace, shout out.
Yes. Mm. Stars hollow to them. And this has been the Fashion Report.
Fashion. Terrific.
Thank you, Sarah. Lovely. Now, let's go to another clip. One thing that a lot of people have said when it comes to the first couple seasons, Rory and Dean dating each other, oh, they don't have chemistry. It's lacking sometimes. Some critics would say that. But people would say, oh, when Lorelai and Dean are talking, there's something going on here.
There's a moment here.
I'm gonna play a clip, and then we can decide for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So let's watch that clip.
Hi, Lorelai.
Hey, Dean. So you're working here?
Yeah. I thought maybe Rory would have told you.
Oh, Rory and I keep missing each other.
Well, I'm here, and hair looks fine to me.
Oh, wow, you're very kind.
And Lorelai.
Weird.
Right?
Yeah, they have way more chemistry.
We're not wrong, right?
No, I caught that last night when I watched.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be some sort of a compilation of all their moments together where it's like mixed together with music that makes it sound like,
well,
oh, they're lost loves.
It's funny, we did not talk about this, Demi, but I'm going to replay this clip and change one thing about it.
Oh, God.
So let's watch this clip again.
Hi, Laura.
Hey, Dean. So you're working here?
Yeah. I thought maybe Rory would have told you.
Rory and I keep missing each other.
Well, I'm here.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. It doesn't seem out of place. And she will
be loved.
Yeah. If you put that behind a scene with that with Dean and Rory, and I didn't watch the show, I'd be like, why are they trying to romanticize his sister?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps at 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month. And it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there, and you know what? You can update it with an app, so every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Oh my gosh. I could do that all day. I feel like that is like one thing you could play under anything and completely. But we're not. I mean, there is...
We're not
something.
Yeah, we're not constructing.
We're not
this.
Making it up, right? Yeah. Okay. It's a weird thing, and I don't know that I'm a post. Just kidding. I'm a post. Spina, let's also play this other Dean moment that puzzled me a little bit. It's just an interesting line. Let's take a look.
I just didn't know where we stood after my wedding and all.
Oh.
You guys didn't come.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about that.
It was short notice.
And we got jammed on some things, but you got our gift?
Yeah, Lindsay spins a salad in it every night.
Which is weird because it wasn't a salad spinner.
No. He's gotten three different gifts from her, apparently.
A salad. She spins a salad every night. Like,
Lindsay eats salad every night.
You think that's it?
That's like what he's saying. Because, what do you think he's...
Well, she's just making one salad a day and just tossing it away.
She just wants it to not get rusty, so she uses it every night, so it won't go to waste. So how do we feel about Dean in this episode? Rory goes to the Dragonfly Inn at the end, and she can't find her mom. She's upset because she got a D from the professor that might want to have relations with her. And that is 100% speculation. But she goes, and then there's no one to comfort her but Dean Forrester, and he takes her, and they hold each other, and she cries.
Is Dean the only person working at the inn at that time?
No, there's other people. You think it should have been Tom that did that? Like, it's okay. Do you need here's a hammer. Do something with a hammer.
You know, I'd help you, but your mom hasn't paid me. I don't know. We're not on good terms right now.
No, it's just, I was genuinely curious because it would have been weird if Dean was the only person there for him to be like, well, I'm just working late, only me, so I'm glad it wasn't like that, but it feels natural for Dean to help to me, but I'm still worried that he's holding on to feelings and I don't want to get to a situation where it's like, Dean says, I still love you, and then we have to deal with like, Jess or Dean, which one will she pick? Like, I don't want to see those promos. You know?
Well, we won't play him then.
I'll close my eyes.
Just won't play him. But it is, I think, when you're a man, I've never been married that I know of. When you're a married
X's
man,
in this audience
I.
Alone.
What's that?
I got three X's in this audience alone.
Wow. Holler out if you're one of them.
No. Don't.
Oh, somebody holler.
There was a very pathetic whimper of a.
I'm glad that someone.
I guess that's why it ended.
Yeah. The other two stayed silent.
But. You would assume you would put up certain boundaries when you're married to a woman and maybe not
he's
hold...
He's unhappy.
They got married, they
that's
were 18.
Not,
he's working for her townhouse.
Yeah, that's true.
It is a bummer of a situation. He's 18, what? Married,
where
and working
are the townhouses
for...
in Stars Hollow?
Tom's building them as we speak.
Yeah. When he gets the money for him.
Yeah, why did they get married?
Why did Dean and Lindsay get married?
Yeah.
Dean
has a complex.
It was a reaction.
I think for the same reason that Luke got married, which is a weird overreaction to seeing the love of his life move on without him, which is... Well, because...
Wait, which love?
Okay. Lorelai for Luke, Rory for Dean. Because he has that dream about Lorelai saying, don't get engaged, just before he goes on the cruise.
You know, I don't agree with that, though.
Really? You think it
was
natural?
Because at the graduation when they're talking about it, he's like, she's like, oh, you're going on the cruise. And he's like, yeah, see, like there's kind of an obliviousness there.
Right. There's an obliviousness there, but then he has the dream and it's the sort of like, why does she want me to not get married? Would she want me to get married? And then he just starts thinking about marriage all weekend.
And then he eats a burger and forgets about it. Is no, what I assume. I don't know.
In my head, he's trying to convince himself that he doesn't love Lorelai by throwing all of his love into this other woman, being like, no, I don't love her. I love you. You, let's get married. That's how much I love you. Come on, let's do it.
And you're saying Dean did the exact same thing?
Yes.
That's insane.
More parallels.
Look, they're not very sane.
How
people.
Many people, like, do you know anyone who's done that before?
No, but I also don't know anyone.
My mom and dad are in the audience tonight. Just kidding.
No.
They love each other.
I don't know anyone who's done that, but that's what it felt like to me. Just like an overcorrection of misplaced love.
Hmm. That's some deep stuff, guys.
I feel like Dean feels like he has to be married for some reason. Like, it's weird he's so young.
Yeah.
He's acting like a guy where there's like a cultural pressure to marry young.
Yes.
I think when you see that one shot of Lindsay's mom where she's like, and then the blah, 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 and they're like planning out everything in the town square, you kind of see what it's like on her side. But there is a weird expectation what it's going to be. I mean, his life, I've said this before, I think his life is already a Bruce Springsteen song. He's working construction. He's married at 18. He's not happy. He's driving down that Thunder Road on a rocky ground.
Born to run.
He's born to run in the USA.
It is so crazy, actually, that he got married considering the night before his wedding, he was like thinking about Rory, like really openly.
Well, he was drunk.
Weird.
Rory with the pretty hair.
Yeah,
pretty hair. So pretty.
Oh, so pretty.
God. I do think people might just get married young in this town, though, because it seems like Lindsay's mom might have married young, too. And it also seems like Lorelai was pressured to marry young. Maybe it wasn't that weird to them. You know?
But you know what? Jackson and Suki did it, right? They got married at the exact right age.
What's the exact
for
right
everyone.
Age?
Everyone.
32.
Yeah, so if you're past 32...
Nothing before or after, ever.
I'm screwed.
Oh, no.
Are the Kims the only religious ones in town?
Well, there's the reverend and the rabbi.
Even the reverend's just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah, the reverend seems very uninvested. Yeah,
he walks in on them
vandalism.
About to break his bell, and he's like, yeah, go for it. I got to go.
Tear it down. Burn it down. Oh, brother. And then, what's Jason's storyline in this episode? Yeah, he's just like, they're in bed making phone calls. Oh, and Trick scares him. That's fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, one thing. Oh, I know what it is. Here, and I wanted to play this clip. This is usually the stuff I cut out of the podcast, by the way, and you're watching it all happen. Don't you guys feel privileged to
usually,
see all this behind-the-scenes stuff?
He says, fill for time, and then I got to do a weird routine about something.
And then we cut out 5 minutes of material.
Yep.
So this is the dinner tricks. Richard, Emily, and Jason, I believe, is there. And this is when it comes to blows. And I want you all to notice, and we'll probably all notice at the same time, someone's face at a certain moment.
I helped you out when you had financial problems.
Tricks.
You made that terrible investment in Dubliner's Paper Corporation when you were first married. I told you not to, but you wouldn't listen, and of course, I had to step in and bail you out.
Now, hold on here, Trix.
You would have lost this house if it weren't for me.
That is not true.
It is not true that you pig-headedly lost that money.
I was 27 years old. That is the time to take risks.
Well, when you have my money to bail you out, taking risks is not much of a problem, is it?
You're making me sound like an incompetent child.
Oh, please.
I have built two extremely successful businesses, Mother, and both of them without your help. And I do not appreciate you now, many years later, throwing in my face the fact that you once helped me out financially.
Do not raise your voice to me.
I will raise my voice if the situation warrants it.
Oh, no, not now. You paid that money back in 2 months also.
That's right, 2 months. How deep in financial ruin could I have been to get that money back to you in 2 months?
I'm leaving this table.
Let me help you with your chair.
Yeah! Bishop is queen.
I'm glad that Richard's biting back, but I feel bad that he only bites back when it directly involves him. Like, when she's going off on Emily, he's like, oh, Emily, don't be so callous. Like,
yeah, that's the thing. He only gets aggressive when it's towards him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he kind of checks out of a lot of other situations, as we've seen.
What does he do again?
Insurance, my dear.
Oh, yeah, I just always forget.
Hartford. Insurance that takes him around the world for at least 10 episodes
exotic
a season.
Insurance.
Around the universe. But that is obviously one of the encapsulations of why
Emily's favorite. What's yeah. that?
No, I was like, I cannot believe that Jason still has not told about their relationship. It's almost like, as much as the Luke and Lorelai thing is like, get it on already, I'm also just like, get it on already, tell them. Because that's all I care about with regards to their relationship.
I don't know if the phrasing is get it on already, by the way.
Get on with it already.
There it is. Yeah.
Get it on already.
Get it on already.
I don't know if this is a spoiler because I don't remember if it happens before or after, but didn't she have to sleep, Lorelai have to sleep in a separate bed yeah. from Digger, but now they can sleep in the same bed?
Oh.
No, we don't know.
I assume that after right. that scene cut,
and that had that TV.
Did she leave the room?
Oh, like after that scene, she probably went to go sleep with the awesome TV bed.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
I don't want you in here anymore. Only. Oh, brother. Yeah, all their phone calls. It's a big phone show. Big phone show. Do you like when Suki says about Luke, you know he has money, he's a hermit, in regards to Luke? Because Lorelai, she's in financial trouble, can't pay for the construction of the inn, and so she has to ask Luke for 30 grand.
I didn't...
You've spotted me a five every now and again.
After saying she wished that she was married sometimes.
Yeah.
Because this is the kind of thing her husband would do.
Yeah. That was an interesting thing because yeah. this show often has, she is like the idea of traditional family, but then sometimes Lorelai has these moments of weaknesses, like in the season 3 premiere when she's like, I want it all. I do want the thing. I want the big family and the thing and the job and the blah, blah, blah. And this would be another one. Just like, oh, it'd be nice to just have a partner to rely on. But still, don't ask your friends for 30. If you're thinking about asking a friend of yours for 30 grand, someone in the audience.
Don't do it.
Maybe don't. Maybe don't do it.
Yeah, I really didn't. When Suki was so comfortable saying, like, just ask Luke, I was like, you're saying that because you asked him for stuff already? That seems like less of a reason that you should do that.
Right.
He had yeah. offered before.
Right.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he offered money.
But it was in a different situation. I feel like if someone, if you're like, I need money to save my house, it's like, well, I already gave you money to buy your boat. It's like, oh, you can
maybe
pass
Suki
on this
was
money.
Like, just ask him. He's in love with you.
See,
give you the
that
money.
Was the right, conversation. Yeah. Let's talk about Paris's rage in this episode. So Paris has had it with Janet's boyfriend, whose name we still don't know. It could be Andre. It could be the Jolly Green Giant. We don't know. But then it comes
to... It's Klebold.
It's Klebold?
That's his last name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is that true?
Oh, because it's on the jersey.
That's a jersey.
Yep.
Oh, it's really funny when she says it backwards.
Yeah.
Why does she not know that names go on the back of a jersey is my question.
She didn't know that?
Well, she was just like, why is his name on the back of it? What is he going to forget? And I was like...
She's just trying to make a sick
she
burn.
She was setting herself up for a sweet alley-oop.
Oh, okay.
She knew. Why is it? La, 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 and then slam dunk.
I love that yeah. you made that a sports metaphor. I appreciate that.
I love all sport. Love
them. Sports ball.
Let's do some sports balls tonight, everybody. Oh, goodness.
Show's a slam dunk so far.
Yeah, I'd say we're hitting home runs, dude. We know what a face-off is now, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
We had an episode where Dean plays hockey, and it was called Face-Off, and we were like, why is this called Face-Off? We don't know why. And Demi said, I've played hockey for 3 years. Why is this show called Face-Off?
I don't know a lot of stuff. Like, that's not a surprise to anybody.
You guys didn't come to a sports podcast.
Yeah.
Thankfully. But what were we talking about?
Oh, how tightly wound Paris.
Paris
yeah.
is
yeah, what happened to her life coach?
Oh,
I don't know.
Did she fire him for getting
Stowe
the wrong gynecologist?
Yeah. For the
getting the wrong guy. Because she was like, hopefully he'll get me or help me get my class in line and help me find a kick-ass gynecologist.
Yeah, oh, maybe he goofs up, and then she was like, no, if I can't trust him with this, I can't trust him with anything.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if there's one thing you need to trust someone for, it's a good kind of colleges. Mm-hmm. Ladies. Let's go into the, what?
Like, why is she so tightly wound if she's getting some sweet
That's
Asher loving, right?
I was
because
wondering.
She can't talk about the Asher
right.
loving.
Okay.
What are the...
Oh.
Chill.
Make you happy.
Yeah.
Right.
You should
chill.
Right. Chill. A little chill.
Yeah, I don't know why she's so tightly wound. It seems like the kind of thing, like that entire time that she was like yelling at them, I was like, you're being really mean right now. Like, it's not founded at all.
Right.
I don't know.
She just doesn't like him.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a sport for her. Maybe she sees a person, she like thinks of 10 sweet burns.
Yeah.
And like how she can execute them the
right.
best.
Right. She's like in Mean Girls, she needs to do a sport to get out all of her energy.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, let's go into the audiences I have prematurely, kind of, for some yeah, audience cue.
You started to wonder.
Yeah, I was like,
just like changing.
I look like a confused old man. Where am I? Where are my keys? For some audience Q&A.
Audience Q&A.
Now, yay. Does anyone have any questions about this episode or the show in general?
I have a question. If you were struggling like Lorelai and Rory were, would you turn to Dean or would you turn to Luke?
Oh,
for support or money?
Yeah, for money support. I go to Dean.
Right? He's willing to work for
Dean will rob
money.
A bank for Rory. Like, he will. Honestly, for support, I would probably go to Dean more than Luke, just because Luke's, in certain situations, he's just kind of a, ah, that sucks, but, you know, we get over it. That kind of a support, but Dean is very much like, hey, I'm sorry about that. Wow. I'll sit with you for a bit if you want to talk about it.
So, you don't think Luke would do that, too?
He would, but he'd be a little bit grumpier about it. It seemed like it's begrudging of him. Like, the entire time, I'd just be like, oh, it's fine, you go. And he'd just be like, I'm going to go. I'm going to leave.
I got to get back.
Right.
Right on.
I think, yeah, while you walk, I think I would go to Luke. I think Dean, I worry that he would do something that you didn't ask him to do, like of his own accord
right,
or something.
Like he tried to kiss you?
Oh, yeah, like Jess style.
Yeah.
I would go to Mrs. Kim.
You would?
She'd get it done one way or another.
I'm sorry you're feeling so bad. Try wearing socks.
We have a question back here.
All right, this question's for Lane. Where's your dad?
Oh, is he here? My dad's here, guys. No, he's not here. I don't
Where's
know.
Where's Mr.
I don't
Kim
know.
Is the question.
I don't
Demi
know.
Demi has a theory on that, actually.
I do have a theory. In the episode after you leave / get kicked out of your house, there is an Asian man working at the diner in your stead. Now, my theory is...
He was there before. He was there before.
He yeah, goes... Oh, he guy. Was?
Yeah.
Okay, well, he,
by
theories.
The way, if you really look at that guy, he's in everything. He's like in Monk. He's just...
Monk, no way.
I will
no,
he's, talk I'm the biggest for hours monk about Monk.
Are you?
No.
You're teasing me?
No, no, I'm
monk.
A genuine, I'm a huge,
ass.
It's a jungle out there.
Huh? Yeah.
Disorder and confusion everywhere.
Wow. Oh,
let's, anyway, no, the remainder anyway, of my theory is he goes, all right, well, if my daughter can't work, I'll work for a little bit until you find someone else, which is why we see him at the diner.
Huh.
I don't have a theory as to where he is every other time. It's not a great theory.
I like Amy's theory that he's dead and just buried under a dresser in the antique store.
Oh my God.
He got lodged
yeah,
somewhere.
Like it collapsed on him and they never took care of it.
His ashes are in the marriage
right,
jug,
exactly.
Probably.
Oh.
Oh my
God. What do you guys think of the treatment of Suki in this episode?
Oh, that's interesting. We haven't talked about that at all.
The treatment of Suki
in this episode.
I hate it when they fight.
Yeah.
I hate it when Suki and Lorelai fight.
It's painful. It's no
it
good.
It's sad.
Because in this episode, I mean, Suki kind of has a good point. Oh, we started this in, but I wasn't thinking I was going to have a kid at this point. So it's a fair point, but she's still goofed. She done goofed.
But I also think it's kind of like one of those things where people go, well, but that's the thing that I'm not good at, so I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to do the fun stuff that I like to do, which I think is, that's tough to go into business with someone like
it's
that.
Like,
yeah, there's going to be stuff that you don't like to do and you're not good at, but you still have
still
to.
Still got a grin and bear.
Yeah.
Right. They're also under a lot of pressure. It's good they're expressing their feelings and not bottling them up.
It's true.
And I think it's healthy that they fought. And they were both equally kind of being rude to each other.
Yeah. I think it was a fair fight in the sense that I think they both had a good point. Like, it's not one of the fights where you immediately go, like, oh, she's definitely in the wrong. I hate every time she speaks or something like that. It's, like, dealing with a baby, I understand that conflict. I would not be mad if she didn't show up. I'd be like, ah, that sucks. It's really inconvenient for me, but I get that it wasn't on purpose that you did that. So I'm glad that that is how it happened and it wasn't just like, oh, I overslept. I'm sorry.
Right.
Come on, take it easy.
Like you
me.
Overslept this morning?
Yes. I did oversleep this morning. That's true.
Gilmore Goof, baby.
Wait, I think the moments that are weirder are earlier when it's in this episode, I think, when Lorelai is on the phone and Suki comes over and she's like, the stove. Or is that the last episode?
That was this one.
And Lorelai's like, the stove will be there in 2 minutes, right?
Right.
And Suki's like, yes, bye. Like, just walks away. Those are, like, small, subtle moments that I'm like, oh, whoa, what?
Right.
What's going on there? But I think Demi raises a good point. What the show does exceedingly well is when there's conflict where you can understand both sides, even a little bit. That's why you don't hate Emily, because you do understand a certain part of her pain and the communication issues. And it's very, very good at demonstrating that. Do we have any more? A question right here.
I'm just curious. This doesn't have anything to do with this episode, but I've never heard of Gilmore Girl drinking games before until the person asked the question at the reunion yesterday. What kinds of drinking games are there? I tried to look it up.
We made one up last episode for 408, but it was a podcast drinking game, and anytime you said Gilmore, you had to take a shot.
Oh, boy.
It'd be bad.
I just refer to them as the ladies if that ever happened. I'd just be like, oh, I'm not drinking. The ladies are crazy today. But there are certain... They mentioned one where yesterday where every time Lorelai was sarcastic, you had to drink, and that would have killed.
Yeah, there's a few different ones. I think you can find a few on BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
And there's some on Pinterest, I think, maybe. Here's my drinking game. Every time there's a scene, take a shot.
I like where your head's at, Kevin.
Yeah, exactly.
Every time you're thirsty, take a drink.
By the way, Lane is the only character that is emotionally stable at all in this episode. Everyone else is a mess. And is not well. And by the way, Keiko's a bit of a rocker herself. If you guys saw the Hep Alien reunion on Friday, this amazing drummer, IRL. We have a question back here.
What do you think Michelle's sexuality is?
Now, let's get into this.
No.
Oh, we're out of time.
How much time do we have?
Guys, sexuality is fluid.
It's a scale.
This is the 21st century. It's 2015. Who can say? I mean, the canon, the Nick Cannon of the show, is that he is a straight man because he's always dancing for the...
Canon is that he is a man who enjoys women. Not necessarily straight. Could be bisexual.
Okay.
So...
When does that... I don't remember him talking about women ever.
The first time he meets Emily is at the bachelor party for Lorelai, and they go to this club, and he's like, sometimes I like to get down with the ladies. And that's like...
A drag club.
Oh, yeah, at a drag club.
I don't know if that confuses things at all.
I don't think it does.
Or not.
No. Yeah. It's just... he declares at least one of his feelings... Like, his feelings sexually about one gender... And I'm not going to suggest that he lies in the other camp as well, but it feels like maybe he does.
I don't know, it's one of those Mr. Kim mysteries, I think.
Where's Mr. Kim? Would Michelle be attracted to him?
That's the romance we need to see in season 8. Mr. Kim, Michelle, finally together. Look it up, guys. There's a lot of slash fic on it already.
Oh, sure,
or there will be once this goes up. Yeah. Oh, brother. Well, should we rate the episode?
I feel like this moved so quickly. Or maybe it hasn't. Oh, boy. Yeah.
There we are.
Let's rate it.
I loved it. I think it was so... The end. Goodbye. Good night. I thought it was so effective at showing the distance and what is kind of the theme and one of the issues of the fourth season. Because, like, just logistically, Rory had to go to school. Rory had to be apart from her mom. So how do you make that work when the show was founded and centered and all revolves around this mother-daughter relationship? And you take away proximity from it. So they address it head-on in this episode. And I think in a way that's beautiful and truthful and interesting. So I'm going to give it... 9 out of 10 Brokeback Mountain coats.
Brokeback coats. I really like this episode. Before I do get into my rating for it, I just want to run through a few of these notes because I recognize a few weird things about this episode.
Oh, we should address these.
Who called them? How did they have the number for the inn? If this phone was hooked up in the morning, who has the number and knows this inn exists? And is, like, making reservations. That's... I was a little hung up on that while watching this.
No pun intended. I think...
Oh, the phone!
Phones. When you had to hang up the phone.
yeah. back in the day. Maybe Suki asked a friend of hers to do it, so it seemed like they were going to do well.
And then she doesn't tell them, so she's like, it's going well. Don't tell them. Don't tell them. another thing is Tana's little line about her going, I love it. I love burning things.
That was troubling.
She burned down the inn. She burned down the Independence, didn't
I think
she?
You're right. I think yes. Tana's the pyromaniac.
That's official now. You guys are going to either hate or love this theory. Them having a roommate that's really into sports made me think the roommates are each a Spice Girl. Now, listen to me. Hear me out on this. All right. Janet is Sporty Spice. Tana is Baby Spice. Paris is Scary Spice. And Rory is Posh Spice. It's why Lane doesn't fit in because she can't be Ginger Spice.
Oh, no.
Wait, what is Ginger Spice's, like, shtick?
She has
being
red
ginger.
Hair.
That's
yeah,
literally
she has red
it.
Hair.
It's just, like, her look.
Yeah. If Boy, Lane dyed her hair red, they'd be like, we love you. Stay here.
And Rory got the posh haircut and everything. Yep. I like
that.
Ooh,
this. My mm-hmm. goodness. This is a real watershed moment for
it
this
really
podcast.
Is.
The Spice Girls moment. That's when it all came together.
Rory tries to nap in a 15-minute window between classes. That's not going to happen. Why? So Rory has people form a line behind her while she's swiping her cart.
Oh, she is the worst cafeteria worker in the world. That needs to be addressed.
Did you love her little hat that has a Y on it? It looks like the Yahoo logo.
I did. Actually, you know what? I may have a picture of it.
It was in one of the
so
clips
adorable.
That we watched, at least.
It was. I think I had a picture. Maybe not.
But anyway, it's just weird that she lets people just swipe their own card, and then as soon as she gets on the phone, there's like a line forming behind her. I just thought, like, there's no necessity to anyone running this stand for the first of it. Just swipe your card and go.
I want that job. That's an easy job.
It's a super easy job. She
you would rather have that job?
Than my... my job's okay, but like, that's an easy job.
It
she
is
gets
a good
paid
job.
For this.
Is she doing a work study program? Or like why
no,
is she
needs
doing this?
Money.
Just there needs okay. money.
Is yeah. this the only time she has a job
works?
On the show?
No, she works
internships?
At the bookstore
she has a
when
job
she goes home for the summer. She stocks books.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
Interesting. Yeah. It's a cute little hat.
Superman. Yeah. Guys, I love this show so much.
So
we
good.
All do. That's why we're here, darling.
Who is
sorry,
that?
I wasn't comfortable with that either. Did you
John
have any
Waters
more?
Is here, everybody.
Hello. Did you have any more? Did you WeeBay rapid fires?
Hmm? Oh, are these my rapid fires? I'm going to do them very slowly. No, I was very worried that Dean was going to kiss her at the end. I was like, don't do it. Don't do it. I can't have the episode end like this. I don't want this for you.
It's bad boundaries. Married men, don't hug your ex-girlfriends while they cry. I think that's a pretty easy...
You can hug them. It's
well,
fine.
Not...
Really?
Okay,
well, okay there's
wait, who's married?
Situations.
Who's married in the audience?
Oh, right by a raised
who's,
hand.
Okay, who's a married man
go.
In the audience? Raise your hand if you're a married man. Married man? Okay, would you hug...
Oh, okay.
No. I didn't even want
it's
the
no.
microphone near him
would
at
you
all.
Hug your ex-girlfriend? That's
married
an insane
man.
Question.
You don't do it. No. Don't well, do okay. it, Demi.
That's an insane question. That doesn't make any sense. Why,
yeah, why can't you
can't hug them?
So here's the thing.
Because
it's
something
a slippery,
might happen.
Yeah.
And well, I gotta protect
okay,
the marriage, man.
Let's say you run into your ex while you are with your wife at the farmer's market. You don't go, hi, nice to see you.
Yes,
hug.
You do.
Yeah. You can.
Yes, you
I'm,
do.
I'm not,
no. You can say hi.
I'm saying hug them.
Hi, hug.
Yes, I'm saying this is a very vulnerable emotional moment.
Right,
no, it's not
I see.
No huggies forever.
Okay, you're talking about a very specific type of hug, like a consoling hug.
Like when you're at your
no
weakest
hugs
and
ever
most
again.
Me? No, I'm saying hug them.
Oh,
a high
hug, but
high
not
hugs
a
are fine.
Yeah,
comfort.
I think people
about
hate high
emotional
hugs.
Intimacy. That's the thing.
Yeah,
right.
Are you going to be emotionally intimate with your ex? No.
No, of course.
Because that's really the danger.
Can
here.
You have
that...
sex with him? Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Come on.
I messed
sex
up,
with your
guys.
Exes. Come on, it's real chill.
Oh God.
No.
No, but I think Keiko raises a great point. It's not even like the hug or the physical thing that's the big danger in this scene. It's the emotional intimacy.
Right.
And it's Dean being there for Rory in that moment when she's at her weakest, you know, crying in the show thus far.
Right.
That's the big danger. So what's your rating, Demi?
So getting into discussing why I like this episode, because I do. I really like this episode. I think that the trick stuff is so fun to see. And every time the tricks is in an episode, my only thought is, it sucks for what's going on for Emily sucks. And then it turns around at the end, and Emily has this golden moment where she finds Trix hooking up with Jack Nicholson's Joker or whatever. And then it's like Emily's got this weird high ground, and it sucks the high ground is always for her something that puts Trix down, because yeah. it's always at the expense of Trix. And I feel like Trix is not... Like, Trix is mean. Trix is just a terrible, mean, shrewd woman sometimes.
But fun.
She's fun to watch, which is why I love her so much. But I always just feel like I wish that there was a way they could exist without... Even if Trix was putting down someone else. Because it's always Emily. When Lorelai looks bad, quote-unquote, she turns to Emily and goes, what did you have to do with this?
Yeah.
That was a bummer, but it's very real, so I can't fault the episode for that. Sure. I loved the... The parallel scene at the end is one of the best things that I've seen in this show so far.
And what's funny is this is not something they do. This is a spoiler, whatever. We talked to Jane Espenson, one of the writers from the show, on the podcast.
That episode's not out yet.
And what's that?
I was like, that episode's not out yet.
Right.
It's crazy.
It's fine. They'll know about it.
I didn't realize it.
Yeah. But she talked about how in the writer's room, they would, on purpose, not try to tie stories together thematically. So if Rory's going through something... about lying, then Lorelai doesn't either, like they would do on Buffy or other shows like that. They would purposefully do it to create a sense of realism. So this is one of the first times on the show where you see there's a thematic element to it, and there's a thematic thread to it, which you haven't seen a lot in other episodes up to this point, which really stuck out to me and was interesting to me.
Yeah. But again, loved it, so I'm going to give it 9 out of 10... I really should start thinking of a thing before I say the numbers.
Proto Bieber haircuts, perhaps?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10 haircuts from guys I knew in middle school.
I really loved it. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 socks.
Ooh.
Aww.
Well, then you've got one.
Just 9. Only 9 socks.
Only 9. You have to search for that last one.
That's the fun of it.
How weird.
I didn't like as much as you guys did. I don't like it when they fight. Everyone was really aggressive. I needed a little more like small town charm.
You know, I feel like that happens a lot where people like the show less when there's something like happening that's super intense like this, where there's like, oh, you feel the pain and the hurt of it.
Yeah.
What does it say about me that I really love the show when it's like that?
No, I like it more too when it's like that kind of like aching thing that happens in your chest. Mm-hmm. That's the gold for me.
So I give it 7 out of 10 sports analogies, I guess.
Ooh, you really jumped the hoop on that one.
7 out of 10 is a hat trick.
Yeah, classic 7 out of 10 hat trick. Sarah.
I just forgot what I was going to name my thing. I don't know. I really liked it. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10. $30,000 checks.
Ooh. So that's
a lot of money. How much money is that?
Yeah, how much money do you think, oh gosh, how much money do you think Luke has at this point?
Well, you got a diner. That's a cool million there.
Yeah, that's it. So he's sitting on $1 million and then savings for another $40 million.
Just look at his apartment. That's a billionaire right there.
So it's $1,041,000,000.
Yes.
Sounds about right. Mm. What do we need to do?
Nothing. I feel like we forgot this in the first show, and I don't want to forget it this time, because some people have things that I do want to plug for them, or at least have them plug. So let's get into
where you tweet
I will follow. Kago, do you have anything you're working on you want to plug? Anything you want people to know about?
Well, if you're going to be in LA, there's a comedy festival that's happening at the end of August. And if you're ever at UCB, come say hi, or at I.O. But also, John Cabrera is just hanging out in the back of the room.
Yeah, where's John Cabrera?
Hey, John, do you want to come up for a second?
Come on up.
Come on up. Yeah, come on up.
And as he comes up here, and his lovely new fiance, Babsy, is here as well. So
the newly engaged John Cabrera.
Congratulations.
Yeah. There we go. I got a mic for you.
You want me to rate the episode? Yeah. I can only rate the clips because I didn't see this one.
How do you feel about the clips?
You can only rate the clips?
The clip 9. Those
do you want a chair? And I'll just sit on the floor?
Let's just both sit. Let's just.
This feels better.
Okay. I give those clips I'm going to say a 5 out of 10 Cabrera's looking for a job.
Woo!
Because there was zero Cabrera.
Yeah,
in this
zero
episode,
Cabrera. So Cabrera didn't watch the episode. He was busy looking for a
zero
job.
Zero JC. Now, guys, especially with the this is so fun with the little Hep Alien reunion that happened a few days ago. Do you feel like there's a chance that could ever happen again at some point in the future? Future live shows or something
yes.
like that?
I think so. I've been practicing.
You have?
I've been practicing very hard.
You're the best fake bass player I know, John.
Thank you.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I mean, we practiced for a few weeks.
We had way too much fun to do something. I don't know.
I mean, what do you think of the idea of maybe we do something with you?
Gilmore Guys, Hep Alien combo at some point?
Alien concert.
Would that be cool?
Great.
Maybe I'll turn the volume on my bass up a little bit. Who knows? Maybe something that maybe sounds slightly like music will come out of it. I don't know.
I really don't know
because I haven't actually heard how it sounds when my bass is on.
It was pretty good on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wasn't actually playing, though.
Weren't you playing for one song?
What's that?
Weren't you playing for one song?
No.
Oh, you lied.
We're really tearing down the curtain here.
My fingers were doing the right thing.
Right.
And I'm convinced that it would have sounded like something. But no, there was actually Dave Rogalski, as we said. For any of you that were there at the concert, you might have heard Dave Rogalski, the real Dave Rogalski, who Adam Brody's character was named after. He was actually playing for me because he always played for me. He was the guy right off camera playing.
Stacy, where can we find you? And what do you have to plug?
Oh, I was just at Stacy Oristano on everything. EY. Stacy EY.
Sarah.
Hi. I don't know.
Hi.
I don't know, like, versions of my name. I hate talking about social... There's, like, no way to talk about social
media. Oh, they don't talk about it. No, let's shut it down.
That doesn't sound horrible. But I had to miss the Gilmore Girls reunion last night because I was working on a movie called Slash, which is about homoerotic fan fiction.
Nice.
Does Michelle make an appearance?
Is it Michelle, Mr. Kim?
Well, they asked me to read Gilmore Girls fan fiction as like a promo thing, and I just got stressed out. Does anyone here write fan fiction? Okay, I bet one of you does, and you're not telling us. I don't think it's anything to be embarrassed about.
Well, Kevin doesn't want to like, woo on stage.
Scary, erotic, erotica. Oh yeah, Kevin does, right?
Yeah.
Fan
Greg
fiction?
Greg does, yeah, Greg.
Oh, gosh, we're bringing
Greg. Oh, Greg, I forgot.
Greg,
is that
it's
for
Greg, God? Everybody.
No.
Kevin's nickname Greg. Is Greg, so if you see him out on the street, be sure to be like, what's up, Greg?
For 2 years in high school, people call me Greg for no reason, and I still don't know why. For literally no reason, so we're not going
to... Well, we have a new reason now, and it's because you told us.
That was your first mistake.
Yep.
Well, before we go and before we say goodbye...
Do you want your chair back?
...to this world... No, you sit there.
Yeah, I'm still good here, so...
Before we say goodbye to this town of Stars Hollow, we just want to say thank you to everyone who came out to both shows.
Seriously,
to all these
thank
shows,
you.
To the 130 and the 330. Thank you so much for doing this. We sold out so quickly for both shows, and it's just so amazing to be able to like do these shows and do something that we earnestly enjoy and love, and just like sharing it something that like... is sincere and fun and without snark, which I think is so rare now for a lot of things. And it's just been amazing for Demi and I to be on this journey together and to be in this room with 150 other people that are like partaking in this thing that we all love. It's so amazing, and it really means so much to us that you came out. So thank you very... You know, I felt like you got less sincere when the top hat came on.
I haven't even said anything since the Top Cat came out. I said it really is, and that was like, oh, I hear the snark in that. He's wearing a hat. I see it.
So thank you to all you. Like, we couldn't have done this without you. And thank you to the Highball and everyone that put us up. It was so amazing.
Yeah.
It's been such a smooth operation for us. It's been so great. Thank you to ATX Festival, Emily and Caitlin over there, and all the volunteers that helped out today. We couldn't have done it without them. And all of our volunteers, it's been so amazing. So... And thank you to our guests, Sarah and Stacy and Keiko and John and everyone here on this stage. We wouldn't be here without. And before we go, and I'm about to go for real. Of course, we have to do one last thing. And I think you guys know what I mean. So here it is.
I don't like it.
Out of the corner in the pouring rain, look for the girl with the broken smile.
The best is Tom coming in slow motion.
Tom is cock blocking.
JK, here's the real thing we're gonna do.
On the road, feeling lonely and so cold. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train. Where you lead, I will follow anywhere. That you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow.
Oh, oh, oh.
Where you lead, I will follow. Anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow. Where you
that song.
Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you for coming out to the show.
Thank you.
It's been so amazing. We couldn't have done it without you.